Happy Sabbath to you all. Let me see if I can get this hooked up here. Pretty scary looking guy, huh? I'd like to have another prayer before we get started here. If you'd pray for me while I'm up here, that my words would be truthful. Heavenly Father, what a great honor it is to be a witness for you, for the great things that you have done in my life, and I know that you're doing in each one of us here, preparing us for that kingdom that is, I believe, drawing very near. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. May the hearts of the hearers here be prepared to receive a message that you have for them, a message of hope, and that we all have a specific testimony for your glory. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. I'm getting old. I can't hear anymore. I can't see. You know, the years that I spent living like this weren't good to me, but the Lord has been good to me and preserved me alive. I would like to read a quote for you this morning first before I get started. It's from Ministry of Healing, page 100. Ellen White said, well, from the scripture she wrote, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God." Isaiah 43, verse 12. Our confession of his faithfulness is heaven's chosen agency for revealing Christ to the world. We are to acknowledge his grace as made known through the holy men of old, but that which will be most effectual is the testimony of our own experience. We are our witnesses for God as we reveal in ourselves the working of a power that is divine. Every individual has a life distinct from all others and an experience differing essentially from theirs. God desires that our praise shall ascend to him, marked with our own individuality. These precious acknowledgments to the praise and the glory of his grace, when supported by a Christ-like life, have an irresistible power that works for the salvation of souls. It is for our own benefit to keep every gift of God fresh in our memory. By this means, faith is strengthened to claim and to receive more and more. There is great encouragement for us in the least blessing we ourselves receive from God than in all the accounts that we can read of the faith and experience of others. The soul that responds to the grace of God shall be like a watered garden. His health shall spring forth speedily. His light shall rise in obscurity, and the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon him. And that spoke volumes to me when I first read that. Life that I used to live back then, chief of sinners, you think about what Paul said there, that in him the grace of God might be shown. And this guy here, I used to be known by the title of Mad Dog. I was a crazy guy. I was a national president of an outlaw motorcycle club for a lot of years. I've done terrible things with my life. This little account right here, this is about 40 pages of what I could gather from my arrest records over my life. And in the book of Mark, it talks about the demoniac. If we'd like to turn to that chapter in Mark, chapter 5, I'd like to go over some points there that really struck me while I was sitting in my jail cell reading about this account. In Mark chapter 5, it says that Jesus came into the country of the Gadarenes. They landed there in a boat on the shore, and there was a man in the tombs that had an unclean spirit, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. In the scriptures, we learn that chains could be termed as circumstances. They tried to keep me in jail lots of times and bind me in the prison cell. I'll tell you what, I had a good lawyer. And no one could keep me tied down. And then all of a sudden, this guy comes running to Jesus. Now, I can imagine this crazy guy. No, I can't really imagine him running to Jesus. Not at that time. See if I can... At the time, I was a national president of this motorcycle club, and all I could think about was me, me, me. Well, the Lord, in His mercy, one of the songs we sang this morning says that time after time, the Lord is waiting. He's waiting for you to come. I just think about how many times I know I should have been dead, and the Lord had mercy on me and kept me alive. And I believe it's for a time like this, just like it was with Esther, for such a time as this. We can give a testimony to people about how the Lord has done great and marvelous things in our lives. Down here in, verse 9, it said, "What is your name?" Jesus asked him. And he answered, "My name is Legion, for we are many." The first local motorcycle club I rode with was called Satan's Legion, of all things. When I read that, I went, oh my God. I was inviting those demons into my life. Day after day, I had so many vices in my life, it was terrible. You talk about the Legion is like, you know, around 1,000 soldiers, probably even a little more than that. So Jesus told a little story about when an unclean spirit goes out, and then he comes back, and he brings 8 worse with him. So how many times do you try to clean up your house, and then that 8 came back, and now it's 56? Then 56 went out. I said, I can understand how you get to be 1,000 or more, a legion. Then down at the bottom here, it says that in verse 15, "And they came to see the one who had been possessed and had the legion sitting," well, I was standing, "clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." It's interesting that when you come to have a relationship with Jesus, how the demons will run. And this was in 2003, my last prison term. This was my last prison term was the third one. I learned about the Seventh-day Adventist Church there. And what a change just came over me from opening the scriptures and letting God speak to me. It's amazing when in Jeremiah 29:11 it says that he knows the thoughts and the plans he has for you. Not plans to harm you, but to prosper you. But he says, "You will find me when you search for me with your whole heart." That was my intention when I came to know the truth. Every day I pick this word up. I love this Bible. I'm worn out Bibles. I have a stack of them at home. That they say that you can tell a Christian who's not fallen apart by a Bible that is. You know, my wife she's just amazed at how many Bibles I'll go through in a couple years' time. But God was merciful to us, and this is my stepdaughter on my left there, Pastor Jim Crabtree, my wife Faye to the right of him, and my daughter, Melissa, and 2 of my grandkids came to our baptism. And even today, they're still in wonder, what's going on with Dad? Brings me to tears thinking about it. Because my children don't share the faith that I have. But I'm praying for them, because I know God is able. At the end there, the demoniac who was clothed in his right mind, in verse 19, verse 18, it says, "And when he got in the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but he said, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. I wrote in my Bible right after that, I said, amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, that's what we're doing. I've gone back. I've been blessed to be in this ministry of the Sabbath Keepers. And I get to go back now to the people that I used to run around with, and they see me now and go, wow, is that Jimbo? You know, what happened to you, dude? I said, I met Jesus. And so this is at Reno last year, and we have a great big booth set up there. And people come, and we get to interact with people and share our testimonies, have prayer with them. We get to hand out literature, share the health message with them. It's just amazing how the Lord has blessed us to be a part of this ministry where he said, go tell your family and friends. It's a beautiful, it's just, I mean, it's a perfect fit for my wife and I. I think the next picture here, while we were at the event, this is an amazing story. This guy, George, comes up to our booth and he says, I was the one who originally started Sabbath Keepers. I said, really? I didn't know that story. So he told me the little story about it. And later I confirmed it with one of the original people who started the Sabbath Keepers motorcycle ministry. And he was telling me, hey, I'm going to be at Teen Challenge tonight, and I want you to come there and check out what we're doing. So my wife and I went over there, and it's in Sparks, Nevada, and we're sitting in the back, and the pastor that he had speaking there got done, and then George gets up, and they play a little song, and then he goes, hey, there's another guy here. I had no idea he was going to do this to me. He said, I want him to come up and give you a short testimony about his life. Now, this right here in the front of the podium there's like nine young men. They're all in their teens, and they're all there for drug rehabilitation or problems with their home, family life. And I looked at them all. I go, wow, that was me when I was that age. And I just asked the Lord to give me the right words. So I went out and personally shook each one of them's hands, and I said, hey, you know what, I believe the Lord has me here tonight for a reason. And said, you know, I love you because I know exactly where you're at right now in your life. And I got to speak to these kids there, and it was amazing. When we were done talking, my wife got to come up too and give a little testimony, and the kids, they just flocked around us after. And I said, praise God that they want to talk to us and learn more about this. One boy there, Tyler, showed some interest in doing some Bible studies. We sent him some amazing fact studies. I was hoping he would interact with us, but he might have just sent him in to amazing facts. So that's a pretty awesome. And then while we're there at Reno, okay, the people here I used to know back when I was a national president of this Outlaw Motorcycle Club, and that's my wife, Faye, on the right. But the two ladies on the left there, they are people I knew in Livermore, California, and they knew what kind of dirtbag I was back then. But the girl on my immediate left there, she was telling, that's her name is Kelly, and the other girl's Sherry. On their way there, they said, you're not going to believe the change in Jim. And because she knew personally what kind of person I was. They both took a steps to Christ, and we had prayer with them. And, you know, it's just amazing how God gives you an opportunity to be a witness for him, to share. I could go on hours and hours and hours here telling about what the Lord's been doing in our lives, and we don't have time for that. But, you know, John wrote in the last part of his gospel that if all the things were written about Jesus, the world couldn't contain it. Well, this room couldn't contain what I could talk to you about. It's just amazing what the Lord's doing Let's see. In this next photo, and would you turn with me to Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 29 and verse 30. We'll read that. You know, when you become reborn, God gives you a new family. Thank you all for being here today, because you're part of my family, and I love you all. I look forward to spending eternity with you. But this is what the Mark had to write here. This is what Jesus' words. He said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sister or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." I can tell you, when I got out of prison, I didn't have anything. All my things were gone. My motorcycle was stolen. We lost our home. I mean, we lost everything. And I have so much stuff now. It's just amazing. I want to get rid of some stuff, you know, because I know the time's coming when we're not going to be able to keep this stuff anyway. But the Lord has fulfilled this in my life with family beyond measure. People ask me, "How you doing?" I said, "Oh, I'm blessed beyond measure." It says pressed down and flowing over, that you can't contain it. I said, "Amen to that, Lord." So this ministry that we're in, how many of you know what Sabbath Keepers Motorcycle Ministry is? I know there's two people here that do. Well, let me tell you a little bit about Sabbath Keepers. It started in 1994 by some people who were sitting in church. They're Adventists, and thought, you know, bikers are not going to come to church. Let's take the church to them. And so they started in Hollister with a little small group of people, and now it's grown to, I think we have more than 20 chapters right now in the United States, and one in British Columbia, Canada. And we go to lots of big events, and we are blessed beyond measure at these events. We give away lots of materials. One of the great things I like about this ministry is that the average pastor, we had Pastor Brownell come to Big Bike Weekend last year, and he looked kind of out of place there, because he wasn't wearing the biker garb. But we can, especially when you know about motorcycles, you can start conversations with people, and there's always things on the bike that you can use as a foot in the door to bring up about Jesus. So I get lots, you know, divine appointments. God has them for each one of us. And so all these people here have come from lots of different parts of California to be at Reno there to support the ministry there. This year there's going to be a big event at Sturgis. They're expecting over 1 million people. And this is a great blessing. Sabbath Keepers has never had a booth there before. This year, God has provided our booth to be right across the street from the Harley-Davidson Museum in downtown Sturgis. How that happened had to be a God thing. So we're going to be there, and we believe that there's going to be great ministry work there. Here's this picture here is from last year at the Papa Ron Run. Do any of you know Ron Redondo? He and his wife were in an accident a couple years ago, so we did a fundraiser for him last year. Well, in the parable of the guest, the Great Supper, it talks about going out into the highways and the hedges to gather in all. that the house may be full. Well, here we are. We're out on the highways, and we get off into the byways. We meet people along the way. We'll be at the gas station praying, and people will come over and start asking questions. Be at the restaurant. See, because when you're wearing this, people see. We're very visible out there. Little badges that say, "May I pray for you?" I've been in the store lots of times. I'll be getting my change back, and the cashier will say, "Yes, you may." We have prayer right there. That happens lots of times. We were getting ready to get on a plane to Dallas, and we're getting something at the little concession stand there, and a lot of people behind us, and the girl said, "Yes, you may." And I'm thinking, okay, let's pray right now. So you know how many people were in line there that heard us praying with this girl. You know, it's just amazing how you can be a witness for God wherever you are. Amen? So God has, I was telling you a little bit about the teen challenge thing. God has opened so many doors for me in ministry. This guy right here, the big guy, his name's Kip. And the little guy, his name is Rhema. Okay, I used to be on the other side of the law. Today, I'm a juvenile transport officer also. And this young man got himself into some trouble. And instead of the court sending him to youth authority, the parents have an option to send him to a private school or rehab or something like that. And the kids don't know anything about us coming. It's kind of fun because the cops used to raid my house. Well, we go in the middle of the night, like about 4 o'clock in the morning, and the parents know we're coming, and they meet us out in front, and they give us a layout of the house so that, you know, if he tries to bolt or something like that, we know where to go. And actually, the mom will lead us into the room and turn on the light, wake them up, and say, "Rhema, this is Kip and Jim, and they want to talk to you." And so the mom leaves, and the parents leave the house while we get to have our little talk with Rhema or Zach or whoever it might be. And first thing we ask them is there anything in this room that you don't want in here? Because, you know, your parents and your probation officer are going to come in here and tear this room up and look for everything. And most of the time they say no. And Kip will say, "Are you sure?" "Well, yeah, maybe up there in the closet, you know." But anyway, so this is a facility down by Rosarito, Mexico, by Ensenada. And so sometimes I get to have fun and go south of the border and drop these kids off at this place here. It's a large compound. It's complete with schooling, rehab, group session. Oh, and they get to have a fun time on the beach. They have surfboards and boogie boards, and they have quads and horses, and the kids get all their fun stuff right up front. They tell them, here's your privileges, but if you start messing up, you start getting privileges taken away. And oh, and they have a place called the quiet room. There's nothing in there but a concrete floor and some concrete walls, and they get to go sit in there and think about it. Now, I know about concrete floors, concrete walls, and doors that slam. And during my last stay with the state, at the beginning of that, there was at the Sacramento County Jail, there was a young man named Stephen Paul Gomez. I don't have enough time to tell you the whole story, but I'll tell you this part. I believe God allowed Stephen to be arrested to be in that cell with me at that specific time. Because he told me his story, and I'm thinking, wow, why did they arrest you? He was just trying to save somebody from being actually sold off into sex trade. With a Mexican gang stuff, and but he was sitting there telling me about Jesus. And now, and I was a methamphetamine addict and an alcoholic, and I was really bad. So after about a couple weeks of sleeping and eating, and I'm starting to get a little bit of my right thinking back, and he was telling me about how much Jesus loved me and prayer and memorizing scripture. And one night he was face down on a concrete floor praying. Now, Faye was not my wife at that time, but the home we were living in, the police raided, and they took us both to jail. So she was in jail for nothing. And I saw that boy, well, young man, down on the floor praying. I thought, wow, I'm the one that should be praying, because I'm messed up and Faye doesn't deserve to be here. So I got down on the floor and prayed alongside of him and said, Lord, you know, I know that I messed up, but I would really appreciate it if you got Faye out of jail. Simple prayer. God knows our hearts. The very next day, when they let us out for day room time, I was walking straight for the phone, taken by faith that God heard my prayer. And Stephen said, hey, bro, what are you doing? I said, well, you know that prayer I prayed last night? I'm stepping out in faith that Faye's going to be at home. And I called the house, and guess who answered the phone? She said, who were you expecting to be here? I said, you. Last night I prayed you'd get out of jail. And she goes, I just got home, and I got out last night. Yeah. The interesting thing about that story is that her bail and the paperwork was done 3 days before. But because of the circumstances of our arrest, the judge would not let her go. It took 3 days before he would finally sign the papers to let her go. I believe that was God ordained, because from that point, that very point in my life, I said, all right, I'm giving it all to God. And the events that took place from that time to this very day, I could fill volumes of books with answered prayers. You talked about protection this morning. I mean, I know the times that Faye and I, just last year, my wife almost died in a car accident, flipped, rolled, and all she got was a little tiny cut in the top of her head. Destroyed the car, but she climbed out of the car herself. Yeah, and the car was smashed. I mean, it flipped. It's amazing what God is doing in our life. And, you know, I know there might be someone here who has a child who's gone away from the church or never even been in the church. Someone you know who's praying for their children. I was raised Roman Catholic. My grandmother was a devout Roman Catholic. She lived up to the light she had, and she was a little prayer warrior. And before she died, she got to see her prayer answered for me. I gave her Steps to Christ. She was in her late 80s during that time, up until the time she literally, at the breakfast table, fell asleep. And no pain. But she read that book, and she had it next to her little chair and her table there, and she'd always, when I would come in, she'd say, it's all about faith. I said, amen. I know that it says in the Steps to Christ is a privilege of prayer, that prayer is an opening of our heart to God. It doesn't bring God down to us, but it brings us up to God. You know? We should be praying continually. You know, we ride motorcycles. I don't have a stereo or anything like that. I'm communing with God down the road. There's a lot of craziness and people out there in the cars and things like that. So I'm praying for safety down the road. I'm praying for my kids. I'm driving by somebody I don't even know. I'm praying for that person in the car. Praying for the person standing on the corner. Who knows? Maybe they have something going on in their life, but I think that's the Holy Spirit saying, pray for that person right now. There's a great deal to prayer. I would like to close today with this thought. That how many of you are involved in personal ministry right now? Amen. That's a whole lot more hands than I've seen in a lot of churches. Each one of us has a talent. Woe to that person who's not using it. If you're just coming here to sit on the bench, you know, I used to play baseball. I hated sitting on the bench. I want to play. We should all want to be out there in God's field, fulfilling, being faithful to our calling. Amen? So this morning, my appeal to you is find what that is in your life. Let the Lord use you in a mighty way, because I believe Jesus is coming soon, a whole lot sooner than people believe. The things that we see fulfilling right before our very eyes from the Scriptures, wake up, people. Get that lamp full and hold your light up for Christ. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So if anybody has a special burden of prayer or anything that they'd like to come up and pray, I'm going to come down here and pray, because I want to be with my family in prayer. And, I might be getting out of line here praying first before we have our closing song, but I think a prayer is totally what we need before we sing Amazing Grace. Can we have some prayer? God is good all the time. Bow your heads with me, please. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace to seek grace and mercy for this time, oh Lord, we know we're going to need strength for the days ahead. And I know, Lord, just from my own personal life, what wonderful things you have been doing and have given me a place to stand before people to tell what marvelous things you have done for me and how you've had mercy on me. I know for a fact, Lord, just from those records sitting up there, that I should be doing life in prison or even dead. So thank you for the opportunity to be here to glorify your name, to lift up people in prayer. I know there's a lot of people here, Lord, right now that have burdens on their hearts, and you know the heart. So I just pray that you would fulfill each prayer according to your will, that it might be seen way far, exceedingly abundantly, more than we can ask or think. We have the GC conference coming up, Lord. I would like to pray for every person who is going to attend there, that you would, for the leaders who are going to be making decisions for our church, Lord, move upon their hearts. Give them clear thinking. Let them see the Scriptures and what they hold for this time we're living in. I'm also thankful for the blessing to be able to go to that conference and to be a part of that video that was made for the conference session this year, What Might Have Been. Lord, we know very well can be today. So here we are, Lord, making our appeal. Send the latter rain that we may proclaim the three angels' message with power and glory, that we may call those out of Babylon, that they may not share in the sins that will be judged upon that great city. I want to thank you today for the food we're about to receive. Thank you for every soul's here, Lord, and thank you for Sabbath. Oh, and I forgot to say, Lord, I'm thankful for this special weekend. 1984 years ago, you died on the cross on the very day yesterday, the date. Today, you rested in the tomb. And Lord, I pray as you rose on the first day of the week that you would rise in our hearts and give us a message. Let us shine, Lord, for your glory. And we just want to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we're going to sing Amazing Grace now.
Oh, and I think, what's your name?
James.
We need to bring James.
You know, I just want to make a comment. Jesus came to save, to seek and save the lost. And he had two disciples, pretty rough men, James and John, called the Sons of Thunder. He saved them. And by the way, John wrote Revelation.
Amen.
So when I looked at Amazing Grace, I saw the name John Newton, who just happened to be the one that wrote the words of Amazing Grace.
Amen.
John wasn't just the average guy. He ran a slave ship, many slave ships. He put a lot of dark-skinned people in peril. But he found the Lord and he repented. He became a leading Christian. His name was John Newton. Here we have James Castillo. James and John.
Amen.
Can you imagine someday when they get to heaven that they can be brothers and compare notes, be brothers like James and John? Thank you. Stand.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He shine His face upon you and give you peace. And God bless. Happy Sabbath. Amen.